So, what's good? I'm back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, aka Triple P, aka the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much more. Today, I'm going to react to a video of Ric Flair, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, explaining why the South didn't like Hulk Hogan. And I'm from Fayetteville, North Carolina, and that's the South. So I can tell you right now, we were big Ric Flair fans down here. Before we get into that, let's give you a word from Dizzle.
That turn, that lick, that slap. It is that one, that everybody talking about Dizzle new drink. They like, that's that turn, that lick, that slap. It is that one. Everybody talking about Dizzle new drink. They like
you can Dizzle too. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave, tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Throw your Dizzle on ice, and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle premium luxury liqueur, just go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three website links. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. Also below that is actual store locations in California, Oklahoma, Kansas, and Arkansas. Little Rock, here we come. And the Dizzle brand merch as well. T-shirts, hats, hoodies, and much more. Go to DizzleBrand.com, click on the store, or go to Etsy.com/shop/ Dizzle brand. I have not actually seen this video whatsoever. This is the first time me seeing it and reacting.
Of the idea of you guys finally getting in the ring together.
Yeah.
And of course, we all anticipated, well, this is going to happen at WrestleMania. And of course, it didn't happen at WrestleMania. But what stuck out like a sore thumb to me is we would see you guys do this match all over the country. And perhaps I would just think, man, the Omni, when you guys do this in the Omni, you're going to have people hanging from the rafters. We see a photo there of when it happened in Madison Square Garden. But the Omni, that feels like old, you know, Jim Crockett Promotions territory.
They didn't buy it.
4,500 people showed up to the Omni to
I
see
know.
Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan.
You
That's
know what?
crazy.
No, it's because they just wouldn't. They wouldn't. We used to have to put sound bites in. He won't be upset that I'm saying this. We had to put sound bites in at center stage because they booed him out.
Oh, the local fans, they weren't Hulk Hogan people.
No.
Okay.
But you know, the first time we really got him to boo me, and it worked, and it's great. And I didn't know that that pay-per-view is what launched Nitro. Since then, Hulk has told me, of course, Eric would never tell me that or pay me rightfully, was the match we had in Orlando with Shaq and me and Sherry against him and Jimmy. And I do think we had a good match that day. It was entertaining. It's never going to be, you know, like a technical, not going to be me and Steamboat or Seth and
Him and
Danny
Ricky
or whoever.
Steamboat, boy.
Not really a technical, but we had great chemistry. Sherry added so much to it. And that pay-per-view is what launched Nitro.
Monday
Sherry
Night
had it.
Nitro.
Yep, you've told me that here on the show before.
Yeah, and I didn't know it till Hogan told me.
It's crazy to
But
think.
he was but in that in that instance, he was that was the first time that he was a real legitimate babyface, and I was the
Right.
heel. But it took us a while to get there.
The first matchup, as we mentioned, Dayton, Ohio, October 22nd, 1991. When you come back and you do it in Oakland, there's 13,400 paying fans to see Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair. In Los Angeles, there's 12,400 to see the match. When you go to Tempe, Arizona, there's only 5,600. And I don't know. It's just amazing to me to think about this thing wasn't a bigger hit on the road. I can't wrap my
Because
head around that.
nobody knew who I was out there. We didn't have the saturation from cable. Turner's cable wasn't nearly what it is today in terms of saturation. They didn't know who I was.
Champaign, Illinois, 6,300 fans. Denver, Colorado, 6,400 fans. Cincinnati, 6,000 fans. Boston. Well, you didn't do it in Boston. That was you and Piper. I'm just saying.
Boston was sold out the night before the Royal Rumble.
In 1992, that's what I wanted to mention. 6,000 folks in Hamilton, up in Ontario. That's a good crowd.
That's a good crowd for Hamilton.
That sounds like a good crowd.
Exactly right, though. You and Hogan had a 15,000 person sellout January 18th in Boston.
Yep.
Do any of those matches stick out? I think the first one, maybe it was in Oakland. It was either in Oakland or Dayton. It was like title versus title. You had the big gold belt. He had the Winged Eagle title. And it looked like they were going to make you the winner. You hold up both belts. Then they reveal it's a dusty finish. The belt didn't really change hands.
Yeah.
What was the reaction when you guys pulled that angle and you held up both belts? Longtime wrestling fans had to be like, I can't believe my eyes here, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it got over. But like I said, the problem, I'm the first to admit this. I never was a big card in New York.
Okay.
I mean, I just wasn't. I didn't have enough TV. Now, if you put me in that situation now, I mean, I thought I was over much better when I was in my mid-50s there than I was in 92, because Turner's TV was Ohio, anywhere from Miami all the way to Charlotte, to Baltimore, to Philadelphia. After that, we were very lame. That's why when we started going to Philadelphia, to the small arena, they would sell out the Spectrum. We would sell out the small arena. That makes sense. We couldn't get in a Spectrum, or we would have, we all would meet together. One of the few times during the year we'd cross paths. Of course, we sold out the Pavilion in Chicago. They sold out Rosemont. I mean, so
right.
But in all fairness to Hogan, I was not over on their TV at all, and when we first started. And I think that disheartened them a little bit in terms of maybe the WrestleMania thing, but I just wasn't over in California. I mean, the first time we went with Crockett, we sold out all those buildings. Second time, half a crowd. Unbelievable. I can remember them all.
All right, so it sounds like this guy definitely titled this video for clickbait. From what I'm seeing, Flair is not saying that the South didn't like Hogan. What he's really saying is that Turner Sports just didn't really have that reach in the South, you know, and on the West Coast that they have today. And people didn't know Ric Flair at that time as much as they did Hulk Hogan. And that's another thing, though. Hulk Hogan was also in, I want to say, the Rocky movie, and he had his own movie, No Holds Barred, you know. Hogan was a really, really big superstar, you know, when I was really, really young. Really, really big. At the time, it was called WWF. They were just more mainstream. They had better marketing than TNT. And TNT, if I'm not mistaken, played on like Thursdays, and like they had their wrestling on like the weekdays and stuff like that. And you know, it was just a different feel and a different look, you know. Now I preferred NWA. TNT was NWA. National Wrestling Association, and I actually preferred it. It just seemed, it looked more realistic and seemed more organic and authentic. And WWF seemed more like gimmicky and cheesy, and with some of the characters they had over there, Brutus the Barber, and they had all types of characters, you know, that had Coco Beware with his pair, Jake the Snake. It was just a lot of gimmicky stuff going on over in WWF. And that's the thing. It was more flashy, more gimmicky, more pop, more mainstream. And Yeah, you would think those numbers would be a lot bigger for Flair and Hogan. You know, like 5,000 for Flair and Hogan just didn't really seem a lot at that time. Of course, this is early, you know, wrestling still ain't hit the peak of what it was and whatnot. And, you know, Flair and Hogan were like the gold standard back then. It was Flair in the NWA and Hogan in WWF. You probably could have said they were the two greatest wrestlers of all time until Rock and Stone Cold came about. I think Rock and Stone Cold just took it to heights that Flair and Hogan just couldn't really take it, man. Like, just the animation, the characters that Stone Cold and Rock were playing in wrestling, like, the peak, man, it was just, like, so tremendous and so amazing. And, you know, it hasn't been the same since Stone Cold and The Rock have left, really, man. Like, John Cena, I mean, he's cool, but wrestling will never be the same, man, you know? Just like hip-hop's never the same. A lot of things just ain't the same as they used to be, you know? They're not as good, not as authentic, not original, you know, and not less gimmicky as they used to be. Once again, thank you for tuning in, Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.